It's on?
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, we're still in the words of Jesus. We're going to be here a while. So we'll go ahead and get started here. The masses are deceived by the God of this world, who uses his ministers as instruments to spread the most popular false gospel about the person of Messiah instead of the message of the kingdom of Elohim, which Messiah brought. You know, this is one of them subjects that, it kind of slips our mind here, you know, because we're in a small community and, you know, it seems like there's a slim chance of that happening, somebody coming in our church and try to deceive us. But it can happen, and we're gonna look at the scripture today. There's a couple of things we want to look at first. But the scripture, this is our two reference scriptures. It's Revelation 12, 7 through 12, and 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 4. And whenever I read this, I automatically thought about Adam in the garden. So that one scripture brought me all the way back to the garden, but it was to establish something. And we'll look at it here. And the thing that stuck out to me and the word that came to mind was responsibility. You know, we have a responsibility as believers. And we'll notice something here with Adam. I'll go ahead and read it. And Yahweh Elohim took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of every tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." So if you notice something here, the first thing that Elohim gave man, it wasn't a vision, it wasn't a plan, it wasn't a woman, but it was a responsibility. It was a responsibility. These are Yeshua's first recorded words he spoke in Luke 2:49, and he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Which ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" The first words Yahweh spoke was about his responsibility. So we see a pattern here, because we have a responsibility. Once we're born again, we have a responsibility, and we're going to look at them. How did Yeshua know about his Father's business? Because remember, that's what he told his mom. His mom and dad. That's what he told him. He said, "I'm about my Father's business." Well, how did he know? It's because he read the Torah. So he knew. He knew the words of his Father. And in Matthew 44, verse 1 through 11, it's evident that he knew it, because that's the story about him being taken up into the wilderness to be tempted by Hasatan. And how did he defeat the enemy? Hasatan. He defeated him with the word. So he knew the word. Again, that's our responsibility, is to know the word. It's our responsibility to not be deceived. If we know what the truth is, false will always be false. So if we know the truth, false will always be false. It'll never change. This is another thing we'll establish. We'll establish our responsibility. We have to know the word. And the reason why we have to know the word, so we're not deceived, because Hasatan tried to deceive Yeshua, and it didn't work because he knew the word and he used it. Luke 4:43, "And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of Yahweh to other cities also, for therefore I am sent." So what did Jesus, Yeshua, preach? The kingdom of Yahweh. This same responsibility was given to us. Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the good news to every creature. The gospel. Preach the gospel. Therefore, seeing that we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of Elohim deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of Elohim. Again, that's more of our responsibility. To renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of Elohim deceitfully. So that's a responsibility of ours. We'll move on. But if our good news be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the mighty one of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious news of Messiah, who is in the image of Elohim, should shine unto them. So the mighty one is Hasatan. He blinded the minds of them so they wouldn't believe. And he, you know, he still does that today. He blinds the minds of people. That way they don't believe. Second Corinthians 11:1-4. I desire that ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with righteous jealousy, for I have espoused you, or betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Messiah. So if you notice here, that Paul is saying that he betrothed. In other words, he connected them with the Messiah. He connected them with the Hold on here. He connected them with the Messiah. Because he says here, for I'm jealous of you with righteous jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband. To one husband. And that husband is Messiah. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Messiah. For if he that cometh preacheth another Yeshua, whom we have not preached, or if ye received another spirit, which ye have not received, or another good news, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So there's three things we're going to look at here. Paul covers A to Z of the Christian faith. He says, if you accept a different Yeshua, a different spirit, or a different gospel, you will reap what you sow, is what he's saying. So if we deviated from any kind of way, he's saying that we're going to reap what we sow. If Messiah is the gospel, then why are another Yeshua and another gospel listed as two separate problems? Because they are two separate things. Yeshua is not the gospel. The gospel is the gospel of the kingdom, which Yeshua is going to be there. But Yeshua is the son of Yahweh. People need to wake up to the deception, the mass delusion of a supposed Christianity that denies virtually all plain truths of the Bible. Yahweh's plan for mankind is staggering, incomparable to anything human beings have devised to replace what he says. The world ignores plain, clear, unmistakable scriptures found throughout the Bible about the kingdom of Yahweh. And you see that a lot. You know, you try to talk to folks about different things that we see in the scripture, and, you know, nobody wants to hear. They're not even willing to sit down with you and look at the scripture with you. You know, but they just don't believe it. Yeshua gives a history lesson on the faith of Israel and how they responded to false prophets. In Luke 6:26, "Woe unto you when men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." So they spoke well of them, and that's what happens. I mean, we see it all over television. You know, these guys. Even ladies, you know, they like to be spoken well of. You know, they like to hear them things. They want to be respected. They want to be loved and lifted up. And the last one, they want to be followed. They want a big following. They want, you know, the thousands at church. I'm going to have to get used to this projector here. All right, we'll look at 2 Peter 2:1. And we're talking about the deception, the false prophets, the false Yeshuas, the false teachers. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master that brought them, and bring upon them swift destruction." So this is scary, you know, because he says that false teachers are among you, you know, and I don't believe there's any here, you know, hopefully, but we always have to, it can happen, so we can't let our guard down. "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their condemnation slumbereth not." You know, whenever I got to this word merchandise, it reminded me of a teaching I did some time ago. It was about Hasatan, and that word merchandise was in that teaching, because he traded his humility for pride. But they use the word merchandise, and it's the same thing here, and we'll look at it. Let me read this again. "And through covetousness," all right, through their covetousness, again, we're talking about false teachers, false preachers. "Through their covetousness, they use people. And through covetousness shall they with fine words make merchandise of you." So in other words, they trade you for what they want. They trade you for Sardis gain. Well, I say trading you, but they trading somebody. Whoever's attending their church, they trading them for this. But let's look at the meaning of it here. "To go a trading, to travel for business, to traffic, trade of a thing, to import for sale." And this is the one, "to deal into use." To deal and to use a person or a thing for gain. So they're using people for their gain, for their jets, their next mansion, for whatever they want. Third John 9:10. Well, I ain't been in Third John in a while. It's been a while since I've been there. I wrote unto you, the assembly. I wrote unto you, the assembly, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doeth he himself receive the brethren, and forbade them that would, and casted them out of the assembly. So in other words, he didn't allow people in his church, and this is Peter. Peter wrote this letter, but he didn't allow people in his church who didn't believe what he believed. So he would kick them out. But look what Peter said. Peter said, we're going to move on here. You know, I look at different translations. And the other translation I was looking at, I didn't put it up there because it was a mistranslation. So we're going to move on. The following verses continue Paul's description of the work of false ministers. 2 Corinthians 11:10-15. As the truth of Messiah is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, Elohim know it. But that I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Messiah. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. This is a blunt, shocking scripture, yet it is true that Satan has ministers who appear to be ministers of Elohim. You know, and the reason why, you know, it's blunt and shocking, because, you know, you never want to look at somebody as that. Because it's not good. You know, it's not a good position for them to be in. And, you know, the thing about that position is there's no way we can tell on our own. The only way we can tell is by studying the Scripture through the Holy Spirit, by discerning it. We're not good enough to tell on our own. Because he makes it so close to the gospel that it looks like the gospel, but it's not. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the assembly of Elohim, which he had purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So this is Yeshua. He's saying this. This is coming from his mouth. He says, whenever I depart, grievous wolves will enter among you, and they will not spare the flock. So people won't be spared. They won't be spared. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Revelation 12:7-12. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, and the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of Elohim, in the power of this Messiah, of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our Elohim day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. I noticed this whole thing. I knew I was missing something. All my highlights is gone. Every one of them. I'm like, man, what is going on here? Even some of the scriptures, it's the wrong scripture. The wrong... I'm like, man, what's going on here? I'm missing something here. So look, this is one of the things I wanted to point out in this scripture. And it says, and they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, which is the blood of Yeshua. We all know that. And they love not, and by the word of their testimony. All right, now this is the one that caught me, got my attention, because how many times have we quoted this? You know, we overcome us by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Well, this quote, the only place you're going to find that is in Revelation. So it's prophecy. So the whole time I've been using this quote, and it's not correct. It can't be correct. Because if it was, Jesus or the apostles would have said this. But here's the thing about our testimony. We look at our testimony as us coming to Christ. All right, so I shared a lot with folks on a boat, friends, you know, they want to hear, so I share my testimony with them about how I came to Christ and what was going on before that and what made me decide to come to Christ. But this is not it. See, that testimony that we give, because he says that, well, and they overcame. All right, they overcame. All right, what? I backslid 3 times. Every time I backslid, in that time I was coming to church and doing the right thing, there's many times I shared my testimony with people. But did I overcome? No, because I fell back. So if this was correct, just the blood of the Lamb in my just me sharing my testimony would keep me. But it can't. Look at the testimony. Look what he's talking about. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, Yeshua, in the word of our testimony. Our testimony is our confession, belief, and obeying the truth of God's word. That's what our testimony is. It's obeying the truth of God's word. Because whenever Christ returns, let me see. See, I'm used to my notes all over, man. I don't have my notes. The Bible says those who endure to the end is going to make it. Those who endure to the end. Well, what's going to help us endure to the end? Is it our testimony from our mouth, or is it the word of God? Is it our confession and obeying the truth? Will that be the one? Absolutely, because I can share my testimony all day, every day. But I'm still susceptible to going back. But you know something? If I keep obeying the truth of God's word, I'm not going back. and I'm going to endure to the end. And that's the testimony that the Father wants to hear. That's the one he wants. I was fully committed to my responsibility, therefore, I finished my course. And our responsibility is obeying the truth of God's word. That's our responsibility. Matthew 24:13. But he shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. Enduring to the end means you follow through with your responsibilities, you obey. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Did he say testimony there? No, we won't be rewarding for sharing our testimony. We're going to be rewarding for following through with the Word of God in our life. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, being a witness to our obedience. Man, I'm missing a bunch of slides in there and all. That's it. And I mean, I don't know what happened. But whenever I first noticed it, I couldn't tell what was going on because the first time I used this. But now I see what happened. I mean, I'm missing all kind of stuff in there. But anyway, it is what it is. And God knew before we even got here what was going to be said. And that would mess up on me. It's probably just a test for me to see how I would handle it. I hope I did all right. But anyway, thanks for coming out. And does anybody have a prayer request or anything?